Starfleet personnel and civilian colonists study readings from instruments standing beside a calm lake amid tall trees and lush green pastures. Riker and the colonists' leader stand by a drawing board.
The hospital facility will be located there, facing north in that grove of trees. And the school and the arts center will be standing there. Centrally located among the residential pods.
Very good. At this rate, we can bring the next wave of colonists in about 6 months. I've got to tell you, I envy you. This is a beautiful place to put down roots.
Somehow, Riker, you don't strike me as the kind that puts down roots.
No? How do I strike you?
As a free spirit, as an adventurer.
An adventurer? Aren't you pioneers all adventurers at heart?
Of course. But we also have this nesting instinct. It's exciting to find a new world, but the joy comes in making it a home. Building houses, having children.
Very interesting. I'd love to discuss this further with you. Dinner tonight?
If you want to share camp rations in my tent, I'd be delighted.
Haven't we gotten you a replicator yet?
No, we haven't. But I've been saving up my ration of dry chicken curry. It should go very nicely with that bottle of wine I happen to know you brought with you.
This is sounding better all the time.
And as you know, I provide the most memorable desserts.
My favorite part of dinner.
Will, Carmen. We've been going over the schematics for the hospital. The location seems fine.
Well, the Enterprise comes back tomorrow. We'll get a crew started on that. Carmen, have you got construction started I didn't know about?
No. What is that?
Data.
I do not recognize the sound. I believe it is coming from above.
A crystalline mass shadows the sun.
Will? What is it?
Data? What's our best bet for cover?
Subterranean caverns to the east, sir. Doctor?
Will.
Start gathering everyone together. We've seen this before. We know what it is. Now get moving.
Riker ushers Carmen forward and stares up at the slowly rotating column of jagged crystal fragments. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Silicon Avatar, voiced by Marston York. The Federation Starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown, streaming flat planes of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy as a comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. Colonists run after Data in panic-stricken fear as a beam of light bursts out from the crystalline entity and blasts into the earth beside the fleeing humans. In a continuous stream, it vaporizes the trees and grass in its path. Racing in terror through the dust and leaves churned up by the growing winds, they rush on. Riker helps Carmen carry a child.
Got it.
Straggling behind, an old man tumbles to the ground, unable to get up. He hands the boy to Data and rushes to help Carmen, who sprints to the old man. She kneels beside him to help him up as Riker runs over the ridge and sees them.
Carmen!
The beam of light from the crystal washes over the two figures, obliterating them, leaving only a trail of dust. Riker turns in horror, looks back once more, and races to catch up with the others. On board the Enterprise, speeding towards the planet, but still millions of kilometers away, Captain Picard strides onto the bridge.
Captain, sensors indicate a disturbance near the outpost on Melona 4.
What kind of disturbance?
I cannot tell. We are still too far away. It could be an electrical storm.
See if you can contact the colony.
Aye, sir. Captain, there is no response from Melona Colony, but the disturbance in the atmosphere is increasing.
How far are we?
At current speed, 27 hours.
Bridge to Forge.
The Forge here, Captain.
Are you picking up any readings from Melona?
Yes, sir. Something strange is going on. There are violent disruptions in the atmosphere.
Ensign, increase to warp 8.
Come on. Keep moving.
Watch your step, but keep moving.
Let's go. Let's go. Keep moving. Deeper in the cave. Come on. Be careful. Deeper in the cave. Keep moving.
How much protection will this cave give us?
The refractory metal in the rock formation may act as an effective barrier. Let's seal off this entrance.
Data and Riker take cover in a tunnel and fire at the rocks above the opening. Dr. Crusher looks at the scared faces around her and turns to Riker.
Let's hope there's enough air in here.
There's got to be a ventilation source somewhere. We need some light.
He gestures to the high ceiling and adjusts the setting on his phaser. Data does the same and they fire into the rocks above, which glow brightly, filling the cave with light. Riker smiles at Data as the shadows around them disappear and they turn to Dr. Crusher.
How are the others?
Just scrapes and bruises, I think. I'll check further. Where's Carmen?
She didn't make it. She was trying to save an old man who had fallen.
I'm sorry.
I think we're going to be all right in here. I'm not sure about the air supply, so stay put. Don't move around. Don't expend any unnecessary energy. With any luck, we'll be able to wait this thing out. Riker to Enterprise. Riker to Enterprise.
Commander, the refractory metal in the rock strata may also interfere with communication.
Data, we've only seen the crystalline entity once before. How do you know these metals will protect us?
I am not entirely certain they will, sir.
I was afraid you were going to say something like that.
With the colonists huddled in one corner of the cave, Riker walks away from Data and into the tunnel through which they had entered. He peers up at the covered opening and looks sadly back at Data.
Sir, the disturbance on Melona is becoming more intense.
Keep hailing them. All channels, Mr. Worf.
Captain, the fact that they're not responding doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong. The atmospheric disturbance could be jamming the signal.
I know, Counselor.
Still no response, sir.
Increase to warp 9. How long, Mr. Worf?
6 hours.
Picard stops pacing the bridge and stares anxiously ahead. On the planet, the temperature in the cave has risen. As the air supply dwindles, people take short, sharp breaths. They sit or lie, conserving energy. Dr. Crusher scans one of the colonists and crosses to Riker and Data.
I've got one man unconscious. We can't stay in here much longer.
If we open that entrance and it's still out there, we're dead.
If we all stay in here, we're dead.
It has been over an hour since we heard the entity, sir. It may be gone.
Or it may be waiting out there for us.
stay here.
Riker nods to Dr. Crusher as he draws his phaser. Data draws his as well and follows the commander to the entrance to the sealed cave. They stare up the stepped slope to the fallen rocks. Nervously, they duck behind the rocks as the stones in the barricade begin to move. With anxious looks to each other, they stare up as a figure pushes the rocks out of the way and peers towards them.
Commander! Commander Riker! Are you there?
Riker and Data lower their phasers, and the commander smiles broadly as Worf pushes through the fallen rocks.
Lieutenant Worf, I don't think I've ever seen a more beautiful sight.
It's good to see you're all right, Commander. What happened here?
The crystalline entity paid us a visit. We lost two colonists, but we got the rest in here.
Riker points to the exhausted group behind him, and Geordi nods as the rescue party joins Dr. Crusher to check the survivors. Geordi and Worf stand to one side of the sloping stepped floor up to the opening, and Riker slowly makes his way up. Data follows close behind. Struggling over the rock-strewn steps and pushing dead tree roots out of the way, Riker looks out over the once lush green forest-filled terrain. He stares in horror as Data steps out of the opening behind him, and together they stop. The pastures, forests, and lakes have disappeared. Rolling hills are no more than jagged, scorched ridges. The ground is nothing but dust. Stretching into the distance, all life has been obliterated, and the once bright blue sky is filled with dust-laden black clouds.
Captain's log, stardate 45122.3. We have notified Starfleet Command of our intention to pursue and investigate the crystalline entity. To that end, we have been joined by Dr. Kyla Maher, a xenologist who has made studying the entity her life's work.
Welcome to the Enterprise. I'm Commander William Riker.
Commander, Dr. Kyla Maher.
We're glad you're here.
You were on the surface during the attack?
That's right.
Remarkable. You and your group are the only known beings ever to survive an assault by the crystalline entity.
We were lucky.
I should say, and your android. He was there too.
Lieutenant Commander Data was there, yes.
Well, shall we get started?
I'd be glad to show you to your quarters.
Oh, Commander, a chance to talk to survivors so soon after an attack? I've been waiting years for this. I don't want to waste a moment more.
Riker shows her to the turbo lift and they head to the observation lounge.
And when we came out of the cave, there was nothing left. Everywhere we looked, there was complete devastation. Trees gone, nothing.
That's typical. It could take years for anything to grow again.
Doctor, I ran a full spectrographic analysis section by section. Trace elements confirm it is the same entity which destroyed the colony at Omicron Theta.
The crystalline entity seems to function like a gigantic electromagnetic collector. It needs a lot of power to keep going, so it strips every form of life from the worlds it encounters and converts it all into energy.
There's no vegetation, no insects, not even soil bacteria. It left nothing.
Except witnesses for the first time in 11 recorded attacks. Now, why, I wonder, did it spare your group?
It didn't spare everyone, Doctor. If you'll check your records, you'll find that two of the colonists did not survive.
My point is that until now, there have never been any survivors.
Doctor, the cave in which we hid was made of rock, which contained heavy concentrations of kelvinite and fistrium. We surmised that the entity was unable to penetrate that barrier.
I would like to do interviews with each of the survivors. Collect as much specific detail as I can from their observations.
Of course.
And I'd like to inspect the remains of Malona Colony as soon as possible.
Commander Data, you will accompany the doctor to the surface.
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind, Captain, I prefer to choose my own team.
Doctor, there is no one on this ship with more knowledge of the crystalline entity than Commander Data. He originated on Omicron Theta.
I am aware of his origins. I'm very much aware that his brother, Lore, worked with the crystalline entity, led it to Omicron Theta, where it killed every living thing. I don't think it's unreasonable that I should prefer to make another choice.
You may request additional team members, but in the best interest of this investigation, I think you should work with Commander Data.
As you wish, Captain.
Kyla Maher stands abruptly and walks out. She is quickly followed by Data, Dr. Crusher, and, with a knowing look to Picard, Commander Riker. Counselor Troy waits until they have gone.
Well?
I don't think you need an empath to sense that woman's feelings. There's hostility that she seems to have transferred from Laura to Data. Perhaps you shouldn't have forced them together so soon.
If her discomfort is going to affect her judgment or her objectivity, I need to know now.
Troy watches the captain suspiciously as he leaves. On the planet, Kyla Marr and the investigative team study the cavern in which the survivors had hidden.
Doctor, there is evidence of residual vitreous matter in the soil. It was not present before the entity's attack.
Taking no notice of him, she continues to scan with her tricorder.
Doctor? Dr. Marr, you have made it clear that my presence disturbs you. However, I do not see how we can achieve our task if you continue to ignore me.
Commander, I can hear everything you say to me. If there's anything worth my response, you can be sure I will not be silent.
Then I do not understand your lack of interest in the vitreous filament I mentioned.
It's all news to me. I found evidence of vitrium on the last three attack sites. It seems to be a residual that the entity produces after it absorbs living matter. I'm actually more interested in this cave. It still amazes me that your group was spared.
As I have speculated, the presence of refractory metals...
Refractory metals, yes, I know. On two separate occasions, settlers sought refuge in caves. Some of them deeper than this one. They perished anyway.
Were those caves laced with kelvinite or fistrium?
The tunnels on Forelet 3 had strong deposits of kelvinite, yes.
Then perhaps the combination of the two metals prevented the entity from...
Perhaps it was you.
I do not understand.
Maybe it was your presence that made the entity pass over the people in this cave. Did that occur to you?
I cannot see what effect my being here would have had.
If you had been in contact with the entity, if that's the reason Malona was attacked, it surely wouldn't have killed its ally.
You believe that I lured the entity here?
Did you?
No, Doctor. Because Lore betrayed the colonists on Omicron Theta, you believe that I am capable of the same behavior. You are mistaken, Doctor. My programming is distinctly different from Lore's.
You don't understand. I am accusing you of collaborating with that monster.
I do understand. And I am attempting to explain to you it is impossible.
It's amazing. You can't feel anything, can you? Nothing I say to you hurts you.
That is true, Doctor.
I'm getting a slight elevation on monocaladium particulates in this cave wall. Are you making note of it?
Yes, Doctor.
My son died on Omicron Theta. He was 16 when the colony was attacked. That is the reason I have become an expert on the crystalline entity. I have spent my life studying it, tracking it, and hoping one day to find it. And if I learn you have been helping that thing in any way whatsoever, I will see to it that you are disassembled piece by piece.
In engineering on the Enterprise, Geordi completes his preparatory work.
Okay, Doctor. We've input all the data you collected on the surface.
Just a minute, Commander. I have some cellulose readings from soil samples that weren't included.
You handle that unit like a veteran, Doctor.
One thing about spending your life gathering information, you learn your way around computers. Hydrocarbons slightly elevated, vitreous filaments in trace amounts, lanthanides, nitrates, all normal. Nothing different. Everything falls within the parameters I established at the other attack sites.
Were you expecting a different result this time, Doctor?
I've never surveyed a site so soon after an attack. I thought maybe I'd find something new, something that would make a difference.
Doctor, have you ever scanned your samples for gamma radiation?
Why would I do that?
We are seeing high-energy reactions that may show up in a gamma scan.
And if they do, we might find a pattern, a kind of marker left behind by the entity. It's a good idea, Data.
Frankly, I just don't see what that would get us.
If the entity left a residual trace of antiproton in the samples we collected, a gamma radiation scan would reveal that.
Getting that readout now, Data.
If we try a logarithmic scale, we will have better resolution.
There it is. See it?
Yes. Doctor?
Reluctantly, she turns to them and looks at the readings.
A sharp spike at 10 keV. Another. A pattern.
So we know the entity leaves antiprotons behind.
If it also deposits antiprotons in space as it travels, can we detect them?
Sure, we can set the ship's lateral sensors for gamma radiation.
Well, let's get to it, shall we?
She nods, and Data looks quickly at Geordi before following her out.
It seems I owe you thanks, Commander.
The thanks actually go to a Dr. Clendenning of Omicron Theta, who did the first experiments with gamma scans.
I never read that. It wasn't in any of his records.
That is correct, but I possess much of his knowledge. He was working on new detectors at the time of the attack on Omicron Theta.
I'd heard you'd been programmed with the experiences of the colonists, but frankly, I find it hard to believe. Bridge.
It is true, Doctor. The contents of their logs and journals were transferred into my memory cells. The man who created me also experimented with scanning the synaptic patterns of the colonists' temporal lobes and programming them into my neural nets.
You possess their thoughts?
To some degree. Dr. Sung hoped to provide me with an amalgam of the colonists' memories.
Interesting.
They study a console screen on the bridge.
There. A spike at 10 keV. And again, it's the same pattern we saw in engineering.
Mr. Data, can you project a course from it?
Yes, sir. There are two possible destinations, the Brechtian cluster and the Argo system.
Is either populated?
Yes, sir. The Brechtian cluster has two inhabited planets.
Ensign, set a course for the Brechtian cluster.
Captain, I've done some preliminary estimates on a firing pattern we need in order to destroy the entity. The photon torpedoes will require some reprogramming, but with your permission, I'll calculations to Lieutenant Worf.
Reprogram the torpedoes, Mr. Worf. Let's hope we don't have to use them.
I beg your pardon?
If we can possibly avoid firing on it, then I would hope
Aren't you going to kill it?
Perhaps you should join me in my ready room.
Looking quickly at Worf and Data, her eyes flashing with rage, she follows Picard down the sloping deck past Riker, who stares bitterly ahead. Troy watches him with concern.
I don't understand. Why are we pursuing the entity if not to destroy it?
We're not hunters, Doctor, nor is it our role to exact revenge.
What do you propose? We track it down, greet it warmly, and ask it if it would mind terribly not ravaging any more planets?
I don't deny that it may be necessary to fire on it, but I look on that as a last resort.
Why? Why not just kill it?
I want to try to communicate with it.
What?
We know from our own experience that our shields will protect us. So long as we are in no danger, I will make every effort to communicate.
To what end?
If we can determine what its needs are, we might find other sources to supply it.
Its needs are to slaughter people by the thousands. It is nothing but a giant killing machine.
Doctor, the sperm whale on Earth devours millions of cuttlefish as it roams the oceans. It is not evil. It is feeding. The same may be true of the entity.
That would be small comfort for those who have died to feed it. We're not talking about cuttlefish. We're talking about people.
I would argue that the crystalline entity has as much right to be here as we do. Now, Commander Data has some theories on how we might communicate. Please confer with him.
Dr. Maher closes her eyes, struggling to control her emotions and unable to hold Picard's gaze before turning and leaving abruptly. Data sits in his quarters playing guitar.
There's something I want to say. You have been helpful to me and kind. and I repaid you with accusations. And I realize I may have been wrong.
That is very gracious of you to say, Doctor, but I have not been injured by you.
Captain Picard has told me you've done work in trying to establish communication with the entity.
That is true. I have experimented with producing vibrations in crystals by means of graviton pulses.
Like tapping on a crystal goblet.
Exactly. I will call up the results I've achieved thus far for you to study.
All right. Commander, just what kind of memories do you retain of the colonists?
I do not possess the minute-to-minute remembrances of each person, although the more intense recollections are contained in my memory banks.
Do you have any of my son's memories?
Mar. Raymond. Called Rennie. Yes, I do.
I see. And his journals?
Yes.
I was wondering, do you know, did he blame me?
Blame you?
For going away, for leaving him on Omicron Theta.
There are no records of any blame against you.
I left him with friends. I chose to pursue my own career. I planned to go back, but things kept interfering. And I kept thinking I'll go next month. But there weren't any more next month.
There are no records of any negative thoughts about you. His personal journals indicated that he was proud that you were such a fine scientist.
He was? What else do you know?
Commander Data, Dr. Marr, report to the bridge immediately.
We are being chased by an unidentified entity traveling at warp speed.
A distress call from a ship called the Callisco. It's being pursued by an unknown object.
Sensors indicate a crystalline structure of indeterminate mass.
How strong are your shields, Captain?
We are a transport ship. Our shields are minimum.
Do you carry weapons?
Only low-level particle phasers. Do you know what this thing is?
Callisco, change course. Take evasive action. Do whatever you can to outrun it.
We are under attack! Captain, notify the people on board me!
Mr. Worf, try to reestablish.
I cannot, sir. There is no response.
The crystalline entity is moving away, sir.
Ensign, set a course for the Callisco. Mr. Riker, prepare an away team.
Captain's log, stardate 45125.7. An away team led by Commander Riker has conducted a thorough survey of the alien ship Callisco and has returned to the Enterprise to report.
Pretty much as we expected, sir. No survivors.
Not a trace of anything that was ever alive. Not even a seed in their greenery storage.
Warp and impulse engines are down, sir, but they can be restarted. A skeleton crew could take the ship to a starbase.
No, we don't have time for that now. Mr. Worf, send a message to the nearest starbase. Ask them to dispatch a crew.
Aye, sir.
Mr. LaForge, make certain that we're still picking up the gamma radiation patterns of the entity.
Aye, sir.
Have you and Commander Data made any progress in finding a means of communication?
I believe so. There are some things to iron out.
Please, keep working at it. We may need it soon.
She turns and enters the bridge turbolift. Data follows close behind.
Deck 17. Doctor, you have seemed preoccupied since we surveyed the Callisco.
I'd found it easy to talk to you, Commander. Do you mind if I tell you something?
Not at all.
After hearing the screams of those men, I found it hard not to think about my son. About what happened to him. I've read stories
about soldiers in the battlefield, wounded, dying, and they call out for their mothers. And I've often wondered if my son called out for me. if he died wondering why I didn't come to him.
The door opens and Data looks quickly away from Dr. Marr to the door and back. She gathers herself and walks out.
Come.
It's still headed for the Brechtian cluster. We've re-established our course.
Very well. Oh, one thing, number one. Starfleet will be notifying Carmen De Vere's parents of her death and returning her personal effects. Would you care to enclose a letter?
Yes, sir. I'd like that very much.
Is there something more, number one?
Permission to speak freely, sir?
Of course.
I've been thinking maybe Dr. Marr is right. Maybe we should destroy the entity.
Why do you think that?
It's already killed thousands. It will undoubtedly continue to kill unless we stop it. I don't want those deaths on my conscience.
Are you sure that that's it, number one? Or are you being influenced by personal feelings?
With all due respect, sir, I'm not a raw cadet. I've lost people on missions before. If we take time to try to communicate with this thing, we may lose our chance to destroy it. And I don't think we can risk that. I think I'll go write that letter to Carmen's family.
We should program the bridge science station to vary the emissions we direct toward the entity.
I'll write a subroutine that will allow us to change the frequency of the graviton beam. Data? You told me you carried some of my son's memories.
That is correct, Doctor.
What can you tell me about Rennie? What were those thoughts? Was he happy at all on Omicron Theta?
I have some vivid memories of sporting events. He played Parisi Squares with a group of his schoolmates.
Rennie started Parisi Squares when he was young, too young, really. But the older children kept asking him to play, and I couldn't keep him away. He had this natural gift.
Yes. He was pleased to have won a championship emblem.
He wrote me about that. He was so proud. I'm characterizing pulse widths in nanoseconds. Sound right to you?
Yes, Doctor. Your son's most intense memories revolve around a young woman named Janina.
A girlfriend? Oh, I never knew about that. Of course, the last person he would tell would be his mother. What was she like?
He enjoyed her kindness, her gentleness, her physical attributes.
There. Now we can vary all the parameters directly from the bridge.
Yes, Doctor.
Could you do something for me? It would mean a lot.
I would be happy to be of help.
You see, all I have left of Rennie, the only connection I have of him is there, inside your head. I was wondering if you would talk to me in his voice. I know you have the ability to sound like other people, isn't that right?
It is true, Doctor, but what would you have me say?
Maybe something from his journals?
Many of his journal entries took the form of letters to family and friends. I could access one of those.
She nods, watching intently, her eyes sparkling with hopeful anticipation.
I took my last exam today. I think I did all right on everything except cellular biology. I know you think it's important, Mom, but I don't see how I'm ever gonna use that stuff. In a couple of weeks, a bunch of us are going on an archaeological dig in the mountains. The Wallaces said it would be all right as long as we had adult supervision. So don't worry, Mom. They're looking out for me. They're really great people, and I like them a lot. But they're kind of serious. They don't have your sense of humor, Mom. Mom, I miss you.
Captain's log, stardate 45129.2. We are still in pursuit of the crystalline entity. Data and Dr. Marr are prepared to attempt communication with the being when we intercept it. I will admit to some uncertainty about the prospect. It could prove to be a scientific triumph or a catastrophe.
Commander, the Brechtian cluster is now 5 light-years away.
Are we still picking up the entity's pattern?
Yes, Commander. Its sensors have not yet locked onto its exact whereabouts.
Captain, we are reasonably sure it's between here and the Brechtian cluster. If I start emitting the graviton beam now, it may serve as a lure, a kind of beacon.
Make it so.
We'll start with a pulse width of 5 nanoseconds. Frequency, 1 pulse per second.
Commencing graviton emissions now.
No change in sensor readings.
Let's ramp the frequency.
Emissions now at 10 pulses per second.
Sir.
What is it? You have something.
A large mass approaching at warp speed.
Full stop.
Aye, sir.
Doctor, continue emitting the signals. Mr. Worf, on screen.
A tiny dot of light moves at incredible speed across the screen, growing as it rushes towards them.
Shields up.
Magnify.
It's beautiful.
What's it doing? Checking us out?
Possibly. Just as we're checking it out.
Dr. Marr, do you wish to change the frequency? Dr. Marr?
Yes, proceed, Commander.
Changing to 20 pulses per second.
Is it responding to us?
Let's test that. Ramp the frequency again, Commander.
Emissions now at 30 pulses per second.
Captain, I'm reading a transmission from the entity, a series of graviton pulses.
It's working. That's a response to our signal.
Remarkable.
Captain, there is a pattern emerging from the signals.
It's trying to communicate with us.
I believe so, sir. But it will take some time to decipher the patterns.
Then it's possible. Communication. Understanding.
Let me try something else. A continuous graviton beam.
All graviton pulses from the entity have stopped.
Maybe it doesn't like what we're doing.
Doctor, return to the intermittent signal.
Dr. Marr stares unmoving at the image of the sharp crystalline form on the viewing screen. It starts to vibrate.
Doctor. Dr. Marr. Dr. Marr, we must return to the intermittent signal.
Counselor?
Something's very wrong, Captain.
The entity is beginning to resonate. Vibrations are increasing.
Dr. Marr, stop the transmission. That is an order. Dr. Marr, do you hear me?
It's for you, Rennie. I did it for you.
Mr. Data, shut down the transmission.
Vibration amplitude is increasing. It can't last much longer.
I cannot stop the graviton signal, Captain. Dr. Marr has isolated the access code.
Maybe I can create an override sequence to shut it down from here.
The amplitude is still rising, Captain. Resonance is approaching critical.
I can't override a program, but it's going to take some time.
The vibrations increase, and suddenly the entity explodes in a shower of brilliant white fragments. Picard stares helplessly at the shower of particles, and slowly everyone turns to Dr. Marr, who watches with a smile of victory.
Mr. Worf, you escort the doctor to her quarters.
Yes, sir.
It will never hurt anyone again.
Perhaps I should escort the doctor, sir.
Fine, but don't leave her unattended.
Please come with me, Doctor.
Of course.
Data holds up his arm and she rests her hand upon his wrist. Slowly he leads her to the turbo lift. Stepping through the doorway, she turns, and as Data enters, she looks up at him smiling and gently clasps his hand in hers. Picard watches her, glaring angrily at the closing doors. Entering her quarters, she turns to Data, suddenly fearful.
I will stay with you, Doctor.
She reaches out and takes his hand, smiling before turning and gazing out of the window.
How long will you live, Data?
There has been no predetermined limit placed on my existence, Doctor.
I'm glad. As long as you're alive, he'll be alive. I need your help, Data.
In what way, Doctor?
Like you did before. Tell me. You understand, Rennie? That you know I did it for you. Because I love you. Because I wanted to give you peace at last.
I do not find such a file in your son's journals, Doctor. However, from what I know of him, by his memories and his writing, I do not believe he would be happy. He was proud of your career as a scientist. And now you have destroyed that. You say you did it for him, but I do not believe he would have wanted that. Yes. I believe your son would be very sad now. I am sorry, Doctor, but I cannot help you.
The end.